Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Het. Eliyahu and Navi has just been finished spending time in Sarfat, and he had the episode of resurrecting the dead boy in Perek Yud Zayin. And now Hashem has been waiting for Eliyahu to annul the decree of the drought, and he has not done so. And now God is going to tell him that it's time to stop the drought. Vahi yamim rabim, and many days passed by, meaning it's already the third year, with Vara Adonai haya el Eliyahu, and the word of God came to Eliyahu, bashana hashirishit lemor, to the third year of the drought, saying, lech hera'e l'achav, v'etena matal apnei adamah, go and appear to Ahav, and I will give rain on the face of the earth. Now this third year doesn't have to be three full calendar years, it could be the first year was a part of a year, the second year was a full year, and the third year was a part of the year. Otherwise, 2 years of without having crops, agriculturists believe it cannot be sustaining a population. So we're trying to have it be minimized to one crop season having missed. And Eliyahu went to appear before Achav, just like God said. And the famine was harsh, was a strong famine in Shomron. And this is something to indicate how dire the circumstances were, and yet Eliyahu had not decided on his own to end the drought. Now, if we notice, Hashem's command to Eliyahu is only to appear and tell him that the drought is coming to an end. There was no other command given to Eliyahu, and it looks like he's about to fulfill God's word, and now we have some interlude that's going to take quite some time before we get the rains coming. Vayikra Achav el Ovadyahu asher al habayit. And Achav called to Ovadyahu, who was in charge of his palace. He's the number two man in the government. It's not just some low clerk. It's the number one fellow in diplomacy. Ovadyahu haya yareet Adonai me'od. And Ovadyahu was very God-fearing. This is in contrast, obviously, to Achav himself, who had been worshipping the Baal and established a mikdash for him in Shomron. V'hi be'achriti zevel et nevi'e Adonai. V'yikach Ovadyahu me'an nevi'im. V'yachbi'em. And when it came time, when it was the time that Ezevel was killing off the prophets of Hashem, Ovadyahu had taken in the past the 100 Nevi'im that were Nevi'e Hashem and hid them. Hamishim ish b'me'ara v'chilkelam lechem v'mayim. He had 50 Nevi'im in each one of the caves, two different caves, and he gave them bread and water. And this is during the time of the drought. Clearly, his source of funding for all of this is the palace money. And Achav, unwittingly, is feeding and providing sustenance for 100 of Nevi'e Hashem, while Ezebel, his wife, is searching them out and trying to kill them. V'yom Achav el Ovadyahu. Achav told Ovadyahu, Lech ba'aretz el kol ma'ayinei ha'mayim. Go throughout the land and find all of the fountains, the wellsprings of water, ve'akol ha'neharim and all the rivers. Ulay nimsa hatzir. Maybe we'll find some fodder, u'nhayesus va'feret, and we'll be able to have the donkeys and the mules, the horse and the donkey, and we won't lose out all of our animals. I mean, clearly, from the famine, they were lacking what they normally would have to feed the animals. And this is very important for Achav. Achav is a great builder. He builds a lot of things in the time of his melucha, of his reign, and the animal that's most needed is the sus and the fered. The sus is for military use, and the pered, the mule, is what they use for carrying the building supplies. And they divided the land between them in order to scout it out. Achav halach b'derech echad. Achav went in one direction, levado, by himself. Ovadyahu halach b'derech echad, levado. Ovadyahu went in his path alone. And it's only at this point when Ovadyahu takes a different path than Achav, when he splits away from Achav, then when Ovadyahu baderech, when Ovadyahu is on the road, v'hineh Eliyahu lekrato, suddenly he can see Eliyahu, v'yakirehu, he recognized him, meaning that they apparently knew, he knew how Eliyahu looked, v'yipol al panav, and he fell on his face, v'yomer, ha'ata ze Adoni Eliyahu, is this you, is that you, my master Eliyahu? So even though it says v'yakirehu, clearly he understood something about Eliyahu that made it seem either it was his hair or the way he was dressed, special as a Navi, but he wasn't sure if it was Eliyahu, so he asked, is that you, my master, Eliyahu? Eliyahu says, that's true, it is me. Hine Eliyahu, go tell your master Eliyahu is here. So Eliyahu Navi is pointing out this question of dual loyalties that seems to be the problem with Obadiahu. He seems to recognize Eliyahu as his master, yet Eliyahu Navi says, don't call me your master. Your master is really Ahav. Vayomer mechatati, he says, what's my sin? Ki ata notenet avdecha v'yad Ahav lahamiteni, that you're giving over my soul, the soul of your servant, into the hands of Ahav in order to kill me. So here, already Ovadiahu switches and says Ahav without referring to him as the Adon. Yeah, and he also tells Eliyahu that he's his Eved, that he's the servant of Eliyahu. He wants to align himself still with Eliyahu. He swears by the name of Hashem, if there is any nation or kingdom where my master, who is Ahav, did not send in order to find you, ve'amru ayin, and they all said that you aren't there. And he made them all swear, each one of these kingdoms and the sovereign places, that they would swear they did not find you. They would look for you and they didn't find you. So while he's concerned about dying at the hands of Ahav, he himself calls Ahav his master, and he also calls Eliyahu his master. And again, this is the issue of the dual loyalties, the ability for Obadiah to feel he can also be the number one man in Ahav's palace and still be a follower and adherent of Eliyahu and Hashem. Ve'ata ta omer lechemol adonecha hine Eliyahu. He says, now you're going to tell me, go tell your master that here's Eliyahu, ve'haya ani elech mi'itach, and now I'm going to go away from you. V'ruach Adonai yisa'acha al ashe lo yeda, and then there's going to be some wind from God, it's going to pick you up and take you to I don't know where. U'bati lehagid le'achav, v'lo yimsa'acha, v'haragani, and I'm going to come now, I'm going to tell Achav that you're here, and then he's not going to find you. And when he doesn't find you, he's going to kill me, because he's been searching for you all this time, and everybody said he didn't find you, now he thinks I'm going to be playing around with him. And I don't deserve this because I really am God-fearing since I'm in my youth. Hello, who God ladoni et asher asiti? Didn't you get that message to my master? Didn't you hear or was told to you what it is that I did? Baharog Izebel et nevi'a Adonai, when Izebel was killing off all of the prophets of Hashem. So the question is really, how was he supposed to have gotten word? Some commentators feel that it was a known something within the Jewish circles, or perhaps within the prophet circles, and therefore Eliyahu should have known. And Professor Garcia feels that really they always had some secret communication going on between them, and that Eliyahu was always kept up to date about what was going on with Ahav through the shalichim of Ovadiahu. V'achbi minevei Adonai, 100 ish, 50 ish b'me'ara, v'achalkelem lechem v'mayim. And he says, you know, didn't you hear what I did? I hid the Nevi'ei Hashem, 50 people in each one of the me'arot, 50 and 50 in each one, and I gave them sustenance of bread and water. V'ata ta omer lechem ola adonecha hine Eliyahu v'haragani. And now you tell me to go tell your master, here's Eliyahu, and he's going to kill me. And again, the concern is that when he comes back, Eliyahu won't be there. Vayomer Eliyahu, Eliyahu says, Hai Adonai Sevaot asher amati lefanav, recalling the same swear more or less that he took when he announced the drought. He now again swears by the name of Hashem, who he has served. Asher amati lefanav means that he serves before him. Ki hayom era'e elav, that today I will appear before him. All right, that swear is enough for Ovadiahu. Vayelech Ovadiahu lekrat Ahav vayaged lo. Ovadiahu goes the other way, where Ahav went, and he tells him, Vayelech Ahav lekrat Eliyahu. And Ahav went to call Eliyahu. Ahav went to Eliyahu. So in this power play, Eliyahu is very concerned that really, even though Hashem told him to appear before Ahav, he wants Ahav to come before him. He doesn't want to be subservient to the king. He wants the king to be subservient to him. And this plays into the idea of Eliyahu's taking on certain things on his own initiative, such as the decree of the drought. Vahi kirot Ahav et Eliyahu. And then it came when Ahav saw Eliyahu, vayomer Ahav elav, and Ahav said to Eliyahu, ha'ata ze ocher Yisrael, is that you, the one who ruins Israel, the one who makes Israel into a befuddled situation? Vayomer lo acharti et Yisrael, I'm not the one who made Israel in hard times. But rather you and your father's home. Because you left the mitzvot of Hashem, and you went after the worship of Baal. So Achav starts out with a harsh retort of four words. Later we'll see in Perek Chaf that he also has four words for the king of Aram. But then after that, he has no further retort. He hears back from Eliyahu, and he's quiet. And now go and gather, send out and gather for me all of Am Yisrael to Har HaKarmel. And also gather for me the Nevi'im of the Baal. They're not real Nevi'im, the Nevi'im of Baal, 450 people. And the people who are the Nevi'im for the Asherah, a different form of Avodah Zarah that was associated with the female and with the trees. And it's 400 people. And all of those people are people who got their sustenance from Shulchan Izevel, the table of Izevel, which seems to indicate that even though Izevel was the queen of Israel, she maintained her own independent financial accounts, and she had her ability and her wherewithal through her father from Sidon to provide for all these Nevi'im. Now we're talking about 850 people throughout the entire drought are all on her payroll list, and she's providing for them throughout the drought. And Achav sent throughout all of Bnei Israel, and he gathered all of the Nevi'im to Har HaKarmel as he was instructed. So Achav, while he's not very verbal, he's listening to Eliyahu. He's doing what Eliyahu says. And Eliyahu approaches all of the nation. Until when are you going to be jumping between one branch to the other? This phrase, Poschim Ashtei Se'ipim, causes a lot of discussion amongst the commentators as to what the precise definition of these words are. Poseach can mean some type of a limping, or people have to hop from one leg to the other. Other people want to understand the word Lifsoach, meaning Lishkon. As opposed to hopping from one to the other, it means to reside. Until when are you residing on both branches? You have feet on both of the branches. If God is the real Lord, so then go after him. And if it's Baal, if the Baal, then follow him. Notice how Eliyahu doesn't equate God and the Baal. He says, if Hashem is the real God, follow him. But he doesn't say if Baal is the real God. Doesn't even raise that possibility. He just says, and if the Baal, follow him. Doesn't want to even give Baal the credence, the benefit of having even it be a possibility that he's the real God. And this indicates that Bnei Yisrael were practicing some form of syncretism, of this idea that they had both God and Baal as the sources of power. Perhaps some of the powers that belong to God, they associated to Baal, but they were still worshipping God in addition to Baal. And Eliyahu Navi is saying, you can't have both. And the people, they didn't answer him. Now, the question is, why don't they answer him? They don't answer him because they don't know an answer. They want to continue their ways, but they understood what he was saying. Or maybe they really didn't understand what the problem is. Maybe they're like Ovadiyahu. They have the ability to see, or they think they can see, that you can have this dual loyalty, both to the Baal and to God. So they didn't understand, what's the problem? We have all these gods in the pantheon. It's fine. Vayomer Eliyahu el ha'am. Eliyahu tells the nation, Ani notati navi l'Adonai levadi. I'm the only Navi left. Well, really, we know that really he's not the only Navi left, because we have the 100 Nevi'im that are in the Mi'ara, but probably what he's referring to is his being the only one who's active in stepping up and making a statement about being an adherent to God. And the Nevi'ah Baal, there's 450 people. Well, he also asked for the 400 people of the Asherah, but those people didn't show up. But the 450 of the Baal, they're there on Har HaKarmel. And he is the one who is the representative for God. V'yitinu lanu shnayim parim. They should give us two ox. V'yivcharu lahem apar ha'yahad v'natehuhu. And they should take for themselves the first one. They get to choose. And they should chop it into pieces. V'yasimu l'ha'itzim. And they should put it on top of the wood. V'esh lo yasimu. Don't put any fire. V'ani yaseh et apar ha'yahad. And I will make the other of the ox. V'natati al ha'itzim. And I'll put it on top of the wood. And I won't put any fire on it. So notice that he's making sure that they're trying to have this type of a contest. Something's happening where they need to pick their ox, and they need to chop their ox up. But the one that he's taking doesn't necessarily get chopped up, but he puts it on the wood without the fire. Ukratem b'shem Elohechem. You'll call out in the name of your God, meaning in the name of the Baal. V'ani ekra b'shem Adonai. And I'll call out in the name of Hashem. V'haya ha'elohim ashi ya'aneh ba'esh hu ha'elohim. And the God that's going to answer in fire, he is the real Lord. V'ya'an kol ha'am v'yomiru tov ha'davar. And the nation responded and they said, oh, it's good what you said. We accept the terms of this contest. So already here, Am Yisrael, they've made some progress from the beginning, where if the beginning they were quiet because they thought they can have dual loyalties both to the Baal and to God, now they recognize that they must have a choice of one over the other. So just agreeing to the terms of the contest show that they've moved over to the understanding that it's incompatible to have Baal and God at the same time. Vayomer Eliyahu nevi'ei ha'Baal. Eliyahu tells nevi'ei ha'Baal, Baharu lachem ha'par ha'yachad va'asur rishona ki atem harabim. It says, pick for yourselves the first ox, and you go first, because you're the majority. Right? 450-1, you get to pick first. V'kiru b'shem Elohechem, and call out to the name in the name of your God. V'esh lo tasimu. So this is now, beforehand he spoke over to Am Yisrael. Now he's telling the nevi'ei ha'Baal what the terms of the agreement are. So he's repeating what we just learned before, that you're not going to have the fire. V'yikhu et ha'par asher natan lahem. But they weren't so happy to participate, but Eliyahu kind of pushed it on them, and he took the ox himself and gave it to them. V'ya'asu, and they made the ox. Now it doesn't say that they chopped up the ox, which is what the original terms were. And why is that? Because really the ox is one of the symbols of Baal. So they wouldn't really take the symbol of Baal and chop it up. That would be a disgrace. And therefore, they only kick the ox. It seems to be whole. And they leave it there. V'yikru b'shem ha'Baal me'abokar ve'ad ha'tzahorayim lemor ha'Baal anenu. And from the morning until the afternoon, they would call out, the Baal, answer us. Ve'en kol ve'en oneh. And there was no voice and there was no response. Meaning nothing was happening. V'yivaschu al ha'mizbeach asher asa. And they were apparently either hopping, like we said before, for Poseach, or they were sitting, they were waiting on the Mizbeach asher asa that was made. So it seems to be, who made this Mizbeach? It's not clear. It was perhaps the Mizbeach that Eliyahu built for them to have this Mizbeach. But it's not clear. In any situation, there was a Mizbeach in Har HaKarmel that was for the Baal. And this place is also a place that apparently there's going to be a Mizbeach for Hashem. We'll see that shortly. V'hi b'tzahorayim. And finally in the afternoon, after he waited so long, v'hatel b'hem Eliyahu. Eliyahu began to toy with them. V'yomer kiru b'kol gadol ki Elohim hu. Call out with a loud voice because he's your God. Right? It's a joke, right? He's being sarcastic. Kisiyah v'chisiglo v'chiderechlo. Says maybe he's having conversation with someone, maybe he's sleeping, maybe he's busy in the bathroom. Ula yashen hu v'yikas. Maybe he's sleeping, he has to wake up. V'yikriu b'kol gadol. They call that with a loud voice. V'yitgodidu k'mishpatam b'haravot u'barmahim. And they cut themselves up as their custom, with the use of the swords and with their spears. Ad shfuchdam alehem. Until blood was coming out onto them. V'hika avor atzahorayim. So they're in this, trying to create this ecstasy to have the Baal answer them. But the afternoon was passing. V'yitnabbe'u ad la'alot ha'mincha. And they were prophesizing, well, at least they were making believe they were prophesizing, ad la'alot ha'mincha, until the time of the mincha. Ve'en kol, ve'en oneh, ve'en kashev, and there's no voice coming out, and there's no response, and there's no one's listening to them. The Baal is not responsive. V'yomer Eliyahu lechol ha'am, geshu elai. Now Eliyahu Navi had enough. He waited long enough. He tells the nation, come close to me. And all the nation came to him. Already as a symbolic gesture, we have the idea that the loyalties are lining up with Eliyahu. And he repaired the Mizbeach of Hashem, which was destroyed. So here we understand that there was a Mizbeach for Hashem on Har HaKarmel, but it was already destroyed. So either it was destroyed by Izebel, or it was destroyed long ago, before we had Bet HaMikdash. At this time, there is a Bet HaMikdash, and normally we're not allowed to bring korbanot outside the Bet HaMikdash, but Hazal teach us that this was Hora'at Sha'ah, because of the emergency situation that Am Yisrael was worshipping the Baal and Eliyahu Navi had to take drastic action in order to correct the belief system and have them worship Hashem, he was able to bring this Korban outside the Beit HaMikdash. But this Mizbeach of Hashem seems to have been ancient, perhaps from the times of Shaul or the times of David, that the time of the Mizbeach was there. And here we see that the place of the contest that was picked is a place of also this idea of the dual loyalties. It's a place that was already a place that there was a Mizbeach for the Baal. It was also a place where there used to be a Mizbeach for Hashem. It's not clear whether Har HaKamel belongs under the jurisdiction of Hashem or the jurisdiction of the Baal. And that's exactly why Eliyahu Navi picks that place to represent what's going on throughout the nation. And Eliyahu takes 12 rocks, the same amount of rocks that represent the tribes of the sons of Yaakov. To whom, meaning to Yaakov, he had a nevuah, a word of God telling him, your name will be Israel. So Eliyahu Navi is trying to have them reconnect to their identity, and one of the ways to do that is to recall their history, their joint past, their ancestry, and that's going to be through coming to Yaakov and how they got their name Israel. You are Israel, you are not Sidonim, you are not people who worship the Baal. He takes and he builds these rocks into a Mizbeach in the name of God. He makes a trench around the Mizbeach that would hold the measure of sa'ataim, of two se'ah, of grain, of seed, saviv la mizbeach, around the mizbeach. Vaya'aroch et ha'etzim, and he set up all the wood. Vaynatach et ha'par, and he chops up his ox. Why? Because he doesn't believe that the Baal is real, so he doesn't care what the symbolism is. And this is exactly the opposite of the terms that he set out in the beginning. They were supposed to chop up theirs, and he wasn't going to chop up his. At the end, they don't chop up theirs, and he does chop his part into pieces. Vayasim al ha'etzim. He puts it on top of the wood. Vayomer mil'u arba'a chadim mayim. V'yitziku al ha'ola ve'al ha'etzim. Vayomer shenu v'yishnu. Vayomer shaleshu v'yishaleshu. It says, fill up four pitchers of water and pour them over the sacrifice and on top of the wood, which will clearly make it more difficult to ignite and to light and to burn because all of this water is there. And he says, do it a second time, they do it a second time. And do it a third time, they do it a third time. Some commentators have difficulty in regards to the plentiness of water, the bounty of water they have here on the top of Mount Carmel in the middle of the third year of the drought. However, some commentators said they took it from some nearby source of water that was a natural source of water, or really this was the amounts of water that people had with them. But it seems to be that there was some water. In fact, when the Achav and Obadiahu go look for water, they're looking for the animals, not for the people. And even though it was a very harsh famine in Shomron, it seems to be that there was something to drink, otherwise people would be dead. And therefore here, perhaps this is just water that they had with them when they were on top of the Har HaKarmel. But they pour all together, if we do the math, 3 times 4, we're up to 12. Just like we took the 12 rocks for Shiftei Bnei Yisrael, we have 12 pitchers full of water being poured on top of the Korban, also to symbolize their connection to the Shevatim. And the water went around the Mizbeach and it filled the entire trenches that they had around the Mizbeach. And it was when it came time for the Mincha. And Eliyahu HaNavi approached. He said, Adonai Elohe Abraham Yitzhak v'Yisrael. Hashem, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Israel, again, calling out to their ancestry, reminding them who they are, where they came from. Hayom yivada, today will be known. Ki ata Elohim b'Yisrael v'ani abdecha, because you are the God, that you are the God in Israel, and I am your servant. Ubedvarecha asiti et kol adonim ha'ele. And through your words, I did all of these things that I did. Well, why does he have to do this? Why does he have to say this sentence even? Well, first of all, it's not clear what he's referring to. Is he referring to the idea of the whole contest at Har HaKarmel? Is it about the drought? What is it that Eliyahu did that he's now trying to prove that Hashem was the one behind everything that he has been doing? In any case, Eliyahu Navi feels that he needs to prove that Hashem is the God, but not only that, but that he is a loyal servant of Hashem and he's doing everything that is being commanded on God's command. Aneni Adonai Aneni, the famous Anenu that comes from here. Hashem, answer me, ve'yedu ha'am hazeh. And this nation should know, ki ata Adonai ha'elohim, that you are God, the real God. V'ata hasibot adibam ahoranit, and that you have either been the cause of their waywardness, or rather that you know the reason for their being wayward. That's why you need to show them that you are the God. V'tipol esh Adonai v'tochal et ha'ola v'et ha'etzim v'et ha'avanim v'et ha'afar v'et ha'mayim asher b'te'ala lihecha. The fire fell from the heavens, and it consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dirt, and the water that was in the trench, it dried up. All of that was taken by the fire. V'yar kol ha'am v'piru al pinehem. And all the nations saw this, and they fell on their faces, knowing that they were in the presence of Hashem. Whenever they're in the presence of the Shekhinah, the response is to fall on your face. Vayomiru, they said, Adonai hu ha'elohim, Adonai hu ha'elohim. God is the real God. God is the only God. That is the call that we have at our end of our Ne'ilah prayers in Yom Kippur. It's the height of a religious experience. They've seen with their own eyes that Hashem is the God. There's no questions about it. It was clear, and they were able to see and declare their loyalty to Hashem. It seems to be that Eliyahu has achieved his purpose in the showdown. Vayomer Eliyahu lahem tifsuit nevi'i ha'baal. And Eliyahu told them, capture all of the nevi'i ha'baal. Ish ayimalet mehem v'yitpesum. Says, capture each one of them, don't let anyone escape. And they caught each one of them, they caught them all. Vayoridem Eliyahu el nahal Kishon. Eliyahu brought them down to the river of Kishon. V'yishhatem sham. And he slaughtered them there. If we look back at the language used in regards to the parim, in regards to the ox that they used for the showdown, the word v'yishhatem is not used, which is normally used with animals. And here the word v'yishhat is used in regards to the killing of the nevi'ah Baal. And there seems to be some slight criticism about how Eliyahu is treating them. It seems like Eliyahu is treating the nevi'ah Baal like the animals. He's slaughtering them. Eliyahu Navi is doing it, it seems, by his own hands. He's not having other people do them. He's the one doing it. And it's Eliyahu's zealousness to worship Hashem and Hashem only, that after the fire comes down, he feels that all the nevi'ah Baal need to be eradicated. Vayomer Eliyahu le'Ahav, Ale echol ushte ki kol hamon hagashem. Eliyahu tells Ahav, go up, rise on the mountain, eat and drink, because soon we're going to have a lot of rain. We're going to hear the rain coming. And this is the first mention of rain since we started the perek that we were waiting for, right? We waited and waited from the beginning. Once Hashem told him to go tell Ahav that the rains are coming, now is the time he tells Ahav the rains are coming. But this whole contest, that wasn't something that Hashem told Eliyahu to say. It seems to be that we've had a long delay with another project that Eliyahu interpolated into Hashem's words, and he basically understood that before he's going to bring the rains, he has to make sure that the people are going to be loyal to Hashem. The whole point was for them to make teshuvah and to worship only Hashem and to not worship the Baal any longer. And until that was achieved, he wasn't ready to agree with Hashem, so to speak, to have the rains come. Now that the people have declared their loyalties, he's telling Ahav the message that he had originally been told to say earlier on. Why is Eliyahu telling Ahav to go up and eat? So Professor Simon has indicated that going up and eating and drinking will show that Ahav is happy and celebrating together with Eliyahu about the slaughter of Nevi'i Baal. And that will show that Ahav's loyalties have now been switched from the Baal to Elohim. And therefore, once Ahav does this, Ahav will be safe. At this point in the narrative, Ahav is probably wondering whether he's next in line to get slaughtered by Eliyahu, and therefore Ahav has great incentive to listen to the instruction of Eliyahu. Indeed, the next pasuk, Vayale Ahav le'achol v'lishtot. Ahav does go up to eat and to drink. Ve'Eliyahu ala rosh ha'karmel ve'yighar arza. And Eliyahu went up to the top of the Carmel mountains and he lay down on the ground. Ve'yasim panav ben berkav. And he put his face between his knees. So apparently he's doing this in prayer. He's waiting for the rains to come. Ve'yomer na'aro, alena habet derech yam. He says, go up and see from the west. Ve'yal ve'yabet. And he looked and he went up and he looked. Ve'yomer en me'umah. He said, there's nothing. Ve'yomer shuv. And when he go back, Sheva Pe'amim. This happened 7 times. He would come and say nothing happened. He said, go back and look again 7 times. Vahi Bashivit. And on the 7th time, Vayomer, Hine Av Kitana Kechaf Ish Ola Miyam. He says, you know, I see a tiny little cloud, like it looks like someone's hand, like a small thing coming up from the west. Vayomer, Ale emor el Achav esor vared. Go up to where Achav is, apparently a different area in the mountain. Esor tell Achav esor vared that he should pack up and he should come down. Velo ya'asurcha agashem, so that the rains won't stop him, because now the rains are coming. He's got to get back to Shomron. Vahi adko ve'adko ve'ashamayim hitkaderu avim ve'ruach vahi geshem gadol. And between this and that, the skies became cloudy, and they had lots of wind, and there was a great rain. Vayirkav Achav vayelech Yisraela. Achav starts riding, going to Yisrael. Ve'yad Adonai haita el Eliyahu vayishanes motnav. And Eliyahu Navi had special power from Hashem, and he girded his loins. He was the one who was ready to do some hard work. Vayaros lifnei Achav ad bo'achai Yisraela. And he ran before Achav as a herald until he got to Yisraela, where he was going to see where Izebel was. And so Achav was the recipient of great honors by Eliyahu. Eliyahu himself is being the herald for Achav. Eliyahu is happy to do so. He thinks that Achav is on his side. He's been converted to a follower of Hashem by his indicating so by going to eat and drink after the slaughter of the Nevi'ah Baal. And therefore, Eliyahu Navi has great expectations that Achav is now going to jettison his worship of Baal and get rid of Izebel. And Perek Yud Het ends on that optimistic note. So in this perek, we saw an interesting idea that the fire came down and proved to the people about God's being the only God. However, we wonder whether or not the drought is accomplishing its goal. If the drought's goal was in order to keep the people worshiping Hashem, it seems to be that really it was the showdown of fire at Har HaKarmel that achieved that goal. And if that's the case, what was the whole drought about? We didn't need a drought. All we needed was this contest on Har HaKarmel with the fire. The drought was absolutely useless. So in order to understand that, we go back to our talk that we had on Perek Tet Zayin, where at the end we said that the Bnei Yisrael made a treaty with Sidon in order to achieve, to receive military equipment of iron and exotic materials that came through the ports. And for that, Am Yisrael needed to give them something. What is it that Bnei Yisrael needed to give? They needed to give agricultural surplus. They needed to give them the food that they grew in Eretz Yisrael. Eliyahu Navi's original plan was that he's going to have a drought that's going to prevent Am Yisrael from living up to their obligations to Sidon, and that will break the treaty and allow Am Yisrael to revert back to worshipping Hashem, and Sidon will go away. They won't have anything to do with us because we haven't lived up to our part of the bargain by producing the food. And indeed, we weren't able to produce the food, but unfortunately, the treaty was not broken. Instead, we have the eventuality of Shulchan Izebel, that Izebel establishes an independent financial accounting. She's the one in the superior position. She's getting what she needs from her father. Am Yisrael goes into further national deficit. They receive the things they need from Sidon, but they're not able to produce what they owe Sidon. And instead of being equal partners, they end up being in an inferior position to Sidon, which makes Achav even more of a coward, less able to stand up to Izebel and the influences of the Baal. He doesn't have the right to say what he would like to say, even if he wanted to have Am Yisrael worship Hashem. He is subject still to Izebel because they're behind the national deficit. So even though Eliyahu's plan was a brilliant one, it seems to have backfired. And now Eliyahu is trying to make good by the rains coming down and by proving to the Am that the fire, through the test of fire, that Hashem is the only God. In Perek Yutet, we'll see whether the expectations of Eliyahu are going to be fulfilled or whether they will be taking a surprising twist.